Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Thursday, August 6th. Following two viral incidents at Sunset Cliffs, there will now be an increase in police presence. More on that next, but first, the headlines. California's housing market is sending out mixed signals this summer. Owning a home is still out of reach for most of San Diego County households. Only 17% of San Diegans can afford to purchase a median-priced single-family home, which is roughly more than $1 million. That's the latest report by the California Association of Realtors. It's saying that the average mortgage rates slightly rose to more than 6.5%, up from last quarter. All in all, there are modest gains for San Diego's home values. A different kind of senior class is coming to SDSU. Yesterday, the university and multiple housing developers shared plans for a senior living community. This will be part of the Mission Valley campus. Construction starts at the end of next year and is expected to be completed in 2030. Plans for the nearly 300,000 square foot space include more than 200 independent and assisted living facilities, 26 memory care residences, and amenities like a restaurant, a fitness center, a rooftop deck, a pool, and an outdoor courtyard. SDSU President Adela De La Torre said, quote, "We can't wait to see SDSU alumni, retired faculty, and so many others take advantage of this unique living environment to deepen their relationship with SDSU." Keeping things with San Diego State University, a new SDSU State of the Ride report looked into the city's 700-mile bike network. The report finds San Diego bike paths to be difficult and at times even dangerous for cyclists to navigate. The report also found that while more than 80% of our major streets and roads have bike lanes, just 8% of those lanes are protected, with most having disconnected segments or gaps that prevent continuous riding. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need. San Diego police are increasing enforcement at Sunset Cliffs following two incidents where cliff jumpers were hurt. Reporter Jacob Ayer says viral social media videos of cliff jumping are fueling an increase of people taking the plunge.
Point Loma's Sunset Cliffs is a well-known cliff jumping spot, an illegal and dangerous tradition that's been going on for decades. 17-year-old Joe Bledsoe drove out from Corona with his younger brother for the second time in the past couple of weeks to cliff jump.
I just started seeing it like everywhere on like TikTok and everything, so I thought, oh, that looks fun because I've always been going to like the lake and the river and everything, like doing like cliff jumps out in the water. So I mean, why not come down here?
On Sunday, July 26th and Tuesday, July 28th, two people jumping and climbing the cliffs were critically injured in the same location. In response, San Diego police say they will be conducting more enforcement in the area. The department said officers gave over 300 warnings and issued 18 citations that included misdemeanors and infractions over last weekend. Jacob Ayer, KPBS News.
Earlier this year, Chula Vista Police Chief Roxanna Kennedy filed a lawsuit against the city. The suit accuses several Latino city council members of trying to push Kennedy out because of her age and because she is white. Corey Suzuki's been reporting on this allegation of racial discrimination and spoke with anchor Debbie Cruz.
Corey, to start, who is Roxanna Kennedy?
Well, Debbie, Roxanna Kennedy has been Chula Vista's chief of police for almost 10 years. She's the first woman to lead the department, and before becoming chief, she served as an officer in the department for decades.
What brought on her allegations against the city?
Well, according to Kennedy's lawyer, all of this goes back to an interaction between Kennedy and a younger officer at a holiday party put on by Chula Vista's police union back in December. Her lawyer's name is Corey Briggs. He says several off-duty police officers took part in a contest at the party. They started dancing. One officer took off his shirt and started swinging it over his head. At that point, Briggs says Kennedy got up, went over to the officer, and put a dollar bill in the officer's front pockets. And then she sat down. Briggs says it wasn't a big deal, but according to their lawsuit, city officials didn't think so.
And what did city officials think?
Well, the lawsuit says city officials reacted very strongly. Kennedy went on to personal leave in January. In February, the lawsuit says city officials began a campaign of retaliation. That's how the suit describes it. And it included several investigations, the lawsuit says. Even though she was on medical leave, city officials forced her to sit for interviews with investigators, the suit says, saying that she could be fired if she didn't participate.
And so how do we get to the Kennedy filing a lawsuit?
Well, Kennedy sees all of these actions by the city to investigate this incident as a pretense, basically a reason that city officials used to go after her and to put pressure on her to retire. But she says the real reason is that they wanted to replace her with someone who is younger and who is Latino. So in May, Kennedy filed this lawsuit in San Diego County Superior Court against four members of the city council, Carolina Chavez, Jose Preciado, Cesar Fernandez, and Michael Insunza. 60% of Chula Vista residents identify as Latino, including these four council members. The lawsuit that Kennedy filed accuses several of them of secretly vetting a younger Latino law enforcement official in a nearby jurisdiction. The lawsuit also names Allen, the city manager, as a defendant. It does not name the city council's fifth member, Chula Vista Mayor John McCann.
So how did the city react to the lawsuit?
Well, the city has denied many of these allegations. And in a statement, they said Kennedy's conspiracy claim was entirely false and relied on, quote, a racist assumption that Latino leaders cannot act with professionalism and integrity. Almost all of the city council declined to comment, citing the pending lawsuit. But I did talk with Councilmember Cesar Fernandez. He said he had no idea where these allegations are coming from.
It didn't land the best. It felt like you're pointing the finger at me because I'm Latino and I've done absolutely nothing that's been alleged.
And Corey, so you talked to civil rights experts about Kennedy's lawsuit. What did they have to say?
Well, I spoke to three law professors who study civil rights and discrimination law, and they said Kennedy's complaint left them really with more questions than answers. I spoke with Kiara Bridges, a professor of law at UC Berkeley. She says that because the lawsuit has so little information, it's almost like the only evidence Kennedy is giving is the fact that the Chula Vista City Council is a majority Latino body.
As it is, the invitation is for us to conclude that majority, minority bodies will prefer minorities just as a sort of matter of course. And I think that's a dangerous kind of conclusion.
The experts also pointed out that this lawsuit is coming at a very specific moment when the Trump administration is making this argument that the biggest problem in the country is discrimination against white men. Here's David Oppenheimer. He's also at UC Berkeley.
You can find individual cases and it's illegal. There's no question about that. But if you're trying to identify a social problem that we need to address, it's not nearly as serious a problem as racial discrimination against minorities.
Oppenheimer says he would want to know more about what exactly happened, like if city council members said anything that indicated racial bias or if there were any patterns like the city terminating white or older employees.
So what comes next for Kennedy's lawsuit?
Well, the first hearing in the case is currently scheduled for October. So the biggest question now is what more evidence Kennedy and her attorney will put forward. There's also a good chance that this case could reach a settlement. And if that's the outcome, the public might not get to see the full facts of what happened.
Well, we certainly will be watching this case, Corey. Thank you.
Thank you, Debbie.
A school district in East County, San Diego County, has hired its first director of safety and security. Education reporter Katie Anastas says the district worked with an outside organization to assess its safety needs.
Safe and Sound Schools was founded by two mothers whose children died at Sandy Hook Elementary School in 2012. In January, the Santee School District invited them to assess its schools. It has 9 elementary and middle schools. Superintendent Kristen Baranski says it led to one key recommendation.
Having one central person to be solely in charge of all of the safety security needs.
The district has named Michael Castillo as its first director of safety and security. Baranski says he'll oversee emergency preparedness and partner with first responders when needed. The district held workshops with teachers and other community members as part of the assessment. Shortly before those workshops, a Superior Court judge granted Andy Williams' request to be resentenced. Williams was 15 when he killed two people and wounded 13 others at Santana High School in 2001.
I was a principal back then in Santee, and that was very hard, and it continues to be a very challenging situation in Santee.
The district has added security cameras to school lobbies. Staff and visitor badges track their location. School employees have wearable panic buttons. Baranski says the new director role will build on those measures to help students and staff stay safe. Katie Anastas, KPBS News.
For more than a generation, the University of California system has held onto the remains of Native ancestors and sacred belongings. Reporter Katie Heisen says UC officials are working to return them, but tribal and state leaders say it's not fast enough.
36 years after federal law required it, and 1 year after a scathing state audit, tribes are still calling for the return of what was stolen from them. 17,000 ancestors and hundreds of thousands of cultural belongings.
The human remains are not archaeological or academic trophies. They don't deserve to be held in boxes on shelves.
James Ramos is the first California Native American elected to the state legislature.
Lack of funding, insufficient staffing, or changes in personnel cannot continue to be an excuse.
The audit found at the rate they were going, the UC wouldn't complete the returns until after 2089. UC Vice President Teresa Maldonado testified at an assembly oversight hearing Tuesday.
We stand accountable for the deep and ongoing harm that our arrogance, quite frankly, has caused tribal communities.
Maldonado says they are picking up the pace, but some say that's still not fast enough. The program is understaffed. An assembly member said the universities are spending less than half the funds the legislature allocated for this. Katie Heisen, KPBS News.
La Jolla Playhouse delivers a without walls or wow experience with the award-winning show Ha Ha Ha, Ha 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 Ha, Ha. Arts reporter Beth Agamondo says it's part clown, part social experiment, and 100% original.
I went into Ha Ha Ha, Ha 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 Ha, thinking it was going to be manic and crazy, because it was part of WOW and described as a clown show. But then Julia Masley took the stage in her eccentric but beautiful blue attire and awash in swirling blue lights and gently inquired,
"Problem."
I had to quickly reset my expectations, because what Masley delivered was an exquisite and empathetic show in which the audience often shared deeply intimate thoughts and concerns.
And I was quite shocked at how people open up.
And in opening up, the audience and Masley created a sense of community.
Yeah, there's definitely a feeling of community and people wanting to, like, help each other and be there for each other that the show kind of inspires on a good night.
As for the title of the show, Masley could only say,
I just liked how it looked visually and I thought it was silly. And then the blurb in the beginning was like, ha ha ha, he he ho ho ha ha. And that was just it. And there was no explanation.
It's a show that defies explanation because it's different every performance. The only constant is Masley's compassionate presence that invites strangers to become friends. Beth Accomando, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. Today's pod was edited by Tracy Tong and hosted and produced by me, Lawrence K. Jackson. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. Thanks for listening and have a great day.